You know, I was listening to all the anniversaries, and what a miraculous thing, you know, not have to drink for a year, 2 days, whatever it is, you know. Such a hopeless state of mind that, you know, when I was drinking, I was also thinking about, you know, the thinking mind. You know, I don't want to think too much, that's for sure. You know, a couple of things I thought of in the 80s, which I don't remember much of. I had a job interview, in fact, before that, I had the job. The fix was in. Everything was done. All I had to do was show up. But they told me, don't drink the night before you go. Okay. So they told me, okay, such and such, Wednesday, whatever it was. You got an interview. Oh, okay. Well, the night before I was at Shea Stadium. And I had a few beers. And some friends were going out to the bar after the game. So I said, sure. Because, you know, in my mind, which is the insanity of the disease, I rationalized, well, they just said it's an interview. They didn't say it was a physical. So if I just show up, I'll be dressed up, everything will be good, I'll get the job. Well, the next day I went, I had this interview, yeah. They said, okay, fine, you know, just go upstairs and get a physical now. Uh-oh. I tried to say, well, can I come back tomorrow? Can I come back next week? I got things to do. He said, no, right now. So, of course, I went upstairs. The doctor said, well, I was in my mid-20s, and my blood pressure was through the roof. My urine was 86 proof. And, of course, they never called me. So, you know, the insanity, you know, the rationalization of, you know, the thinking mind is unbelievable. It was another time I was going to pay my rent, which didn't happen often. But I went to the post office. I got a $300 money order. The next day, I said, well, you know what? I need some money. So I went back to the post office. I cashed it back in. I got a money order for $200 and $100 in cash. The next day, I needed money. I went back. I got a money order for $100 and $100 in cash. The next day, of course, you can figure it out. I went, and that was it. It was all gone. You know, it was things like that. You know, when my stepfather, he used to keep money in his one of his jacket pockets in his closet. And I used to go over the house and, you know, and just go in and take it. You know, let's say they're on vacation, and I take some money, and I say, you know, I'll put it back. Oh, I'll put it back. I had all the intentions of putting it back, but I never put it back. Oh, and just things, you know, kept going on like that. And, you know, last week we talked about, you know, the first step. I had that first step experience in that furnished room in Corona with the woman shooting up, and thank God for her. Alive or not, but God bless her. And even though I had that great relief that I had to come back here, that, you know, I couldn't drink anymore. I just had that, you know, that my innermost self, that I could not do this anymore, that I needed help. The next day I had some money left. I had a bottle or two or whatever it was. I don't remember. And I said to myself, it's my Bon Voyage bottle, you know. But the day after that, you know, I started coming to meetings. And, you know, I went to meetings, and, you know, I got the sponsor. And, you know, I was working without the book at the time, you know. And I had a God in my life. I had the willingness to believe, and I had a God in my life. You know, because even prior to that, you know, I had prayed. There was this, I grew up in Flushing, and I went to St. Michael's Grammar School. And I'd lived there and did all my other stuff there, too. So on the way back to that furnished room in Corona, I'd go by this St. Michael's School, and they had a little grotto and with a kneeler. And I used to just kneel there, and, you know, because all I had left was a token in my pocket, you know, to get back. And, you know, to please, you know, relieve me of this. How do I, you know, ask anymore? And, you know, I did that. I even went to Stations of the Cross. And if anybody is Catholic, you know, that's like... I hated that in school. It's like you'd be there for hours. But I mean, I didn't, it was like, I wanted, you know, relief, but I didn't know how to do it, or I just, you know, I was just searching, you know. And finally God did answer that night, you know. So I came to the meetings here, and not here, but in Queens, Forest Hills. For a long time I thought these steps were like intellectual exercises. Because it seemed like, you know, everything they told me was the outside stuff, you know, go to meetings, the liquor store's here, walk that way, You know, they even told me, you know, well, if you shave on this side of your face, start on that side. You know, people, places, and things. You know, so it was like all this outside stuff. And I thought it was really, you know, just like an intellectual exercise. You know, the steps and everything. And, by the grace of God, you know, I didn't drink. I had a God in my life. I did a lot of service. And there was a lot of fellowship. And, you know, I go to these meetings. And, you know, as far as the third step, I really didn't know what it was at that time. I just thought it was like, yeah, okay, this is it. God's will. Wherever I am, that's it. And I was going to celebrate my first anniversary, and a friend of mine, Mitch, came up to me with a card. And he said, well, happy anniversary. And I was like, oh, yeah. He says, now get busy. Now, when they said that, meant get into the steps. Now, okay. So that was really what it meant, was the fourth step. Because that's when they used the book. At least I should say, when at that time, that's when we went back to the book. And, you know, I had the Joe and Charlie tapes. I had the book. I went to workshops. I was going to do the best fourth step that was ever done. It was going to be so complete, it would be insane. Meanwhile, I didn't do anything. You know, I just sat with it. I said, I'm going to do a great one. Someday. And, you know, that went on a while. And if you knew, you know, there's no right or wrong. Just listen to your sponsor. I won't get into the practical side of it because there's different people have different things, you know. However, you know, you want to do it. I mean, there's the main, you know, we have the resentments, the fears, sex conduct, and the other harms, which I've done. You know, the second time around, I don't even remember much about the first one that I did. I do know at the time, you know, my sponsor that I had, he just said thank you and hugged me, and that was, you know, the end of it. I didn't spend that hour afterwards, considering, you know, the first five principles, and which I did when I did it again through the book. See, when you use the book, the instructions are there. It's so much easier. It's almost like when I didn't have the book, it was like playing darts blindfolded. Maybe I'll do it. Maybe I'll, you know, I don't know. You know, like I said last week with the, you know, this is the GPS. It's just because I didn't know. I was listening to a sponsor, and he listened to a sponsor that didn't have the book. So, you know, I've heard about recovery by word of mouth. That's another, you know, way to put it. And, you know, a great thing I heard, I went to Fellowship of the Spirit. You know, I'm open to all these different things today, and I can do these things. You know, also, where it says, we listed people, institutions, or principles. Now, for a while, I just thought it was like institutions and principles were interchangeable. But principles, they mean belief systems, which is my old belief systems. You know, like you're a fraud, you don't belong here. God-fearing, like you used to hear, God-fearing man or woman and stuff like that. You know, or the church, what you felt about religion, anything. You know, whatever my old belief systems were. And, you know, put that down on paper. And I will, though, suggest that, you know, when you're doing, you know, the names, you go down. Because if you go across and you start, you know, listing, you know, whatever that was and what it affected, and then the fourth column, by the time you get to the fourth column, you know, you're blown out. And I just didn't remember even who was going on next. So I just, you know, just line up everybody, do all the first column first, and then go on. I can't tell you even before, you know, as far as the fifth step. I told you I'd gone on these retreats, and, you know, a big thing, too, when I was coming around then was, you know, you're as sick as your secrets. And, you know, when they just kept saying that, you know. And it was on retreat, and I didn't even do a fifth step yet. And I just had this overwhelming feeling to get rid of, I had this deepest, darkest secret, you know, and that was why I had sex with men. And I saw this guy, and I just had the overwhelming feeling, I got to tell this guy. And I told him, and this is the miraculous thing. I don't remember his name. He went, and he had a brogue, Irish guy. He said, that's nothing. I came home one night and tried to make love to me, German Shepherd. And she was big. But the way he said it, he just went, ah, it was like, you know, the weight of the world was off me. You know? Where it says, you know, the relief that was there, you know, that I'd gotten rid of that, you know, that I'm unique, and you know, all that stupid stuff. And this is great, what I love for you. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the Spirit of the universe. And it's just a great, you know, a great paragraph, you know, for me when I read that. And it's something I experienced. You know, there are steps that I experienced, which I didn't even know until I came here, you know. And that was one of them. When I did the fifth step, like I said, with the book, you know, I did it. And then my teacher had a six-step column and an eight-step column. He had a, like a running tally of what we'd discuss after, you know, after I had my hour by myself. If I left anything out, you know, at that time, I could think about it. And it's very important because you're in a spiritual process, and that hour is really, really important. And it's something that, you know, I hadn't done before. Because I didn't know. I was ignorant. I didn't know. I didn't know what was part of it. I didn't know these were the directions. You know, until somebody pointed it out. Until I came here, really. And the sixth step. Now, the sixth step gets a short shrift, I think, a lot of times. It's kind of glossed over to me. I shouldn't say, you know, it's more like an opinion, so I strike that. No opinions here except the doctor's opinion. I talk from experience. But that sixth step, you know, after I did that first step, you know, I'm just don't drink, go to meetings, and I'm going to meetings and going to meetings and going to a lot of meetings, and meeting makers make it, and, you know, I heard that a lot last night. It was in a meeting. Anyway, you know, It was like, you know, the meetings, the analogy with, you know, if someone's hungry, do you want to feed them fish or do you want to teach them how to fish? That's exactly what I feel here. Because I was going to meetings, I was getting that fish, and I was feeling good. You know, I'd go for that hour, everything'd be okay. And I'd leave, everything'd be okay. Get up for work the next day, go to work, things aren't okay. You know, and as some people know, you know me, that, you know, there were a lot of people that told me I liked you a lot better when you were drinking. You know, and that's like the duck. You ever hear about the duck? You know, if somebody calls you a duck, you say, ah, come on, one person. If two, maybe. If three, you better check your ass for feathers. You know, and that's exactly the way it was. You know, enough people told me that, and but I didn't. You know, I go to the meeting, you know, that night, and then they said, "Don't worry about it. You're a winner. You didn't drink today. You're a winner." I said, "Okay." Everybody pat you on the back. Everything's fine, right? Go home. Everything's good. Go to work the next day. Not so good. And I had a job where I still have where I serve alcohol. And that was really where it came out. I mean, if you said the wrong thing, you know, and that's it, that emotional, they talk about the emotional, I forget how they put it. But anyway, I'd go like 0 to 100 in a second, you know, and people really be like, and not ever, you know, sometimes it happens today, but then I can say, you know what, I'm sorry, I was out of line. And, you know, and because that old guy comes back and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Anyway, that sixth step. You know, I was on one of these retreats, and it was a priest, and he was also, he worked with people in 12-step programs. He was also a social worker, and out of like the 35 guys that went, I'm the only guy that went to see him after. And it was, what a revelation. I mean, thank God. It was probably about 7, 8 years, and I had felt there was just, there was nothing. I mean, I'm going to meetings, and, you know, I did like 8 and 9. But that was it. You know, I jumped, you know, that's another thing, from 5 to 8. So, because I didn't know. So, you know, we made the list after the 5th, and, you know, that was it. I did some 9-step amends, and, but after that, that was the end of it. And, you know, they say in 10, you know, but that's in a couple of weeks, but, you know, resting on your laurels, and I pretty much thought everything, you know, was good then. and but I met this priest, and then talking to him over some period of weeks, it really came out what 4, 5, and 6 is. And that's that fourth column, and then you're talking to somebody about it, about that fourth column, about you, where you're to blame, and God is in it. And then a sixth step, because I have to read this, because this was very, very profound effect on me. Okay. Okay. We can answer it to our satisfaction. We then look at step 6. We have emphasized willingness, but this is... Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? That was the key. That was the key for me. Because I kept doing a lot of things, and they weren't objectionable to me. But now talking to this priest and going, and really I'm looking at the fourth column now. Talking to him, God's involved, and these things are becoming objectionable. I mean, the things I'm doing, I'm looking at them, I'm like, wow, what a jerk. You know? And a real main thing at the time was I was living, well, we weren't living together yet, but the woman who I'm married to, we were going out, and, you know, me and my thinking mind, you know, if things aren't going the way I want, I just want to go. You know, I'd done that, and I saw that in my sex conduct, you know, which really showed, I mean, really showed me how selfish and self-centered I was. But anyway, talking with him, I could really see how, you know, how selfish and self-centered I was in all phases. And miraculous things happened. I quit smoking at that time. Things were, you know, objectionable. I moved in with her maybe a year or so later, something like that. But also during that time, what I'd done is I did leave her. I said, well, that's it. You know, it's not working out. And we were apart, and... there was this other woman I wanted to take out, and I was talking to her, and I said, well, let's go out for dinner. And she looked at me like, what do you mean? She said, you have a girlfriend. I said, no, not anymore. I said, well, you know, I felt safe with you because I thought, you know, you were in a relationship and I could talk to you and all this stuff. See, I thought, you know, as soon as the woman smiled at me, you know, that she's very interested. All about me. And I had to thank her after that. I said, thank you. I'm living in this fantasy world. You know, I'm just going to leave a woman I really love because I found that out because of talking to this priest. You know, I would say things like, well, you know, I like when she does this, and I just smile to myself. And he said, Kenny, that's love. I needed somebody to tell me that because I really didn't know. I was so lost because I didn't have the steps. I was really so lost. And thank God, you know, I found him and, you know, at that time. And... believe me, there were many years after that, you know, that, you know, I just existed in AA, you know, doing the service and everything else, and until I came here, that sixth step, when I'd gone through with the book, there was one day after, I think I'd done, right after the fifth step, the day after it might have been, but I was with my wife, and one morning, and what I used to do with her is I'd say something really off the wall. And she'd say, really? And I'd say, nah, no way, that can't happen. And I immediately felt that that was wrong. I said, you know what, I'm very sorry. I said, I've done that to you often. I said, you're expecting truth from me. Here I am, you know, like making you like a fool. I said, I'm sorry. And I'll do my best, you know, not to do that again, you know. And I can't tell you something that was objectionable. You know, there's things that was almost immediate, you know, like the giving back the extra change at the store. You know, I consider that things that were objectionable, you know, that, you know, today. And there's another one. I don't know, it was a year or two sober, and this guy had drank. And like after the meeting, I ran and I told somebody about it. And I immediately felt that was really wrong. And I said, you know, gossip really hurts. And doing like that, and it's not my place to ever talk, you know, about people like that. And that's been my journey. And you know what? That's about it. When ready is next week. Thank you.